Let's go now to the typhoon disaster in the Philippines. Yesterday, the procession of survivors making their way on foot to Tacloban Airport was 4 kilometres long. And at the front of the queue, there's little relief, with people begging for food, water, or a flight out of the chaos of what used to be a city of 220,000 people. And that's just one of the devastated areas. The ambassador, the Filipino ambassador to Australia, is Belen Anote. She joins me now. Ambassador, good morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Yes, good morning, Francis. Thank you very much.
Ambassador, I thank you for your time at this very difficult time for your country. Yes. What's the latest? Can you give us an update on the recovery effort?
Well, as you may have seen in all the newspapers and all in the media footages, really the number of casualties and the very large area of devastation is really taxing all the relief capability of the Philippine government. But thanks to our own citizens, the NGOs, and all our friendly, all the friendly governments of the Philippines, we have been receiving assistance and support left and right. So we're very grateful for that. But that eases, you know, the magnitude of the suffering of our people. So currently, our priority really is to be able to provide food, water, and shelter to the nearly 1 million people who have been affected by the recent typhoon. And we're trying our level best to be able to deliver that food, water, and shelter and dry clothing. And so that's the priority of the government currently.
Yes, and the just the logistics of that are so enormous. Can I right. get a sense? I know last night your government's Disaster Management Centre put the official death toll at 1,800, yet we've been hearing for days now that the death toll from Tacloban alone could be 10,000. Mm-hmm. What is your assessment of where this will end up?
Well, I don't want to speculate, but yes, you are right that death tolls will rise in the next 2 weeks or so as we are able to compile all the numbers of those who perished in the tragedy. I was just listening to our president earlier, and he said that, yes, your figure is correct. As of the moment, there is nearly 2,000 bodies recovered, but that will rise as we are able to penetrate, as we are able to clear the roads and really go to the typhoon-affected areas.
So the aid is, from what you're hearing now, finally getting to those further-flung areas because the roads were blocked
away.
And some people had said they hadn't received anything yet.
Yes, not only are the roads being cleared, but also our ports and airports are returning to normal operations. Not yet normal, but returning to normal operations. And if that is done, the better, so that there will be other avenues for sending the aid and assistance to the affected areas.
How equipped are the Philippines to deal with a recovery effort of this scope? Because we've seen the pictures of the devastation. I don't even know if there's an estimate of how many homes are destroyed or damaged. It's a massive, massive task.
Yes, we have an estimate of the damage, and they're really enormous because they run into millions of pesos, and the houses that have been damaged as of today, it is about 149,000 houses, but we don't have, and the major roads, we don't have a compilation of the destruction of the major roads and bridges. And of course, we are slowly also being able to restore power and communication lines. So that's very important for us to be able to really assess the extent of the damage. But the assistance that we're getting from the U.S. and from the U.K. who are sending ships and airplanes, so that will help facilitate, you know, the shipment of all the aid and relief supplies to the affected area. And at this point, let me just thank also the Australian people and the Australian government for their immediate response to the Philippine tragedy. And they have sent their own the Australian assessment team. So we're very grateful for that.
And a lot of Australians here in Australia, a lot of people worried about the fate of loved ones in the Philippines.
Right.
Have you been busy with that, trying to help them find people?
Yes, that pretty much. Our telephone lines never stop ringing, and we do get emails also. So we're trying our best to be able to touch base with the relatives. But unfortunately, that's proving very difficult. But as soon as the communication lines and the power lines are restored, we can react much faster.
Your government's representative at the Warsaw Climate Change Conference said, and I'm quoting here, "What my country is going through as a result of this extreme climate event is madness. Mm-hmm. The climate crisis is madness." Mm-hmm. Does your government make a connection between rising seas and temperatures and the severity of storm surges?
Yes, that's right. We have an office known as the Climate Change Commission, and yes, they have made such a statement. And from my own personal experience, I will believe that this is due to climate change. One, because this is extraordinarily strong. We've never had, at least me, I've never had that experience before in the past. And second, the area where the typhoon passes is normally not the area where the typhoon passes. And third, normally the last rain will stop November 1, but we are still experiencing typhoon in December. So really, I mean, where do you attribute all these things in terms of the typhoon path, the frequency, and the area that it hits?
So what's your response then to the international discussion going on that Australia is taking part of now in climate change, on climate change?
Well, you know, the scientists, they're more knowledgeable than I am. And if this is the conclusion, and I think my government agrees with that, and this is the reason why we have such a thing as climate change adaptation, climate change mitigation. We have such programs in the Philippines because we do recognize, you know, the disastrous effects for us because we are an island nation. So we are an archipelago, so we're surrounded by water. So and not only that, climate change is not just about typhoon and floods and storm surges, but we also suffer from drought. So, yes, we do recognize that.
Ambassador, this must be a very difficult time for you, and I'm sure you have many loved ones that you are very worried about. So thank you very much for joining us, and we wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you very much.
And bye. Ambassador, just before you go, I think there is the embassy website has a list of charities people can donate to, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And even the Australian government or TV stations in Australia have their own list. Of course, they can do so with Australian-based NGOs.
Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Francis. Bye.
That's the Philippines Ambassador to Australia, Belen Onota. And as I mentioned, if you want to donate directly to the Philippines, the embassy's website has a list of banking details of charities and agencies. And the ABC, on the Our ABC website, abc.net.au/appeals, you go there and find out how to donate.